Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy?
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is The Rich Eisen Show.
The Rich Eisen Show.
But I'll tell you what, Bears fans.
Live from The Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
DJ Moore and Keenan Allen may just be the best tandem of wide receivers a rookie quarterback is inheriting.
The Rich Eisen Show.
As a first overall pick.
Earlier on the show, Pro Football Hall of Famer Kurt Warner. Comedian Preacher Lawson. Still to come. Two-time NCAA champion and 13-year NBA veteran, Christian Laettner. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
That's right. Hour number three of the Rich Eisen Show is on the air. March Madness begins in earnest this week, as we all know, men's and women's brackets. And I've got my bracket right here, and I'm holding it up real briefly so people can't steal it. Because my information is proprietary, right. And I know what I'm talking about.
Obviously.
If I say it that way, maybe people will believe me. Yeah. Fun show so far. Preacher Lawson, the comedian, was here in studio in hour number two. Kurt Warner, my Hall of Fame friend, in hour number one to discuss all the craziness going down in the NFL quarterback world. Certainly with the Pittsburgh Steelers and the Chicago Bears being front and center on all that. If you missed the first 2 hours, don't worry. We've got you covered here on the Rich Eisen Show on the Roku channel. We re-air on channel 210. There is our podcast version of the show, all 3 hours for you to listen to whenever you want. It is your God-given right to listen to things or watch things whenever you want. There's our YouTube stream as well, youtube.com/Rich Eisen Show. We put most of the show in clip form right there. There's the video on demand service as well as part of the Roku channel relationship with this show. As soon as we are done, What the Football, the latest edition of that podcast with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. They're going to record a show reviewing all of the NFL news that's been going down with Mike Florio of Pro Football Talk. Also, for those here in studio, Amy also brought some baked goods. They're available around the corner for you. You've already sampled that, Chris, if I'm not mistaken.
I cannot confirm.
It's Mike Del Tufo's birthday as well, so that's the way that Mike Del Tufo is celebrating is with us. And we're happy to have back here on the program a man who knows all about March Madness and the sport of basketball, to say the least. Two-time NCAA champion, 13-year NBA veteran, courtesy of DraftKings, Christian Laettner, back here on the program. How are you, Christian? Ooh. What's going on?
Hey, Rich, how you doing?
I'm good.
Good to see you. Once a year, I get to see you.
That's right. Just look at us. I'm happy to have you on more often, Christian, whenever you want. Come on now. I'm happy to have you.
Madness is fine.
It is. Okay. Very good. Is that your artwork behind you on your wall? What is that? What do we got here?
That is my kids, and definitely not mine, but my daughter. My one daughter is a very good artist, so it might be some of her stuff.
Okay, very good. Well, it is good. It's good to see you. What memories come back to you on a week like this one, Christian?
Well, I'm 54 now, Rich, so the memories are fading, that's for sure. But, you know, when I think about it, it's all about, you know, that I stayed there for 4 years, and like we had so much senior leadership and we had some upperclassmen. And nowadays when you watch college basketball, there's just so many young kids and they transfer, they move, they change schools. And it just seems like the schools that are doing the best are the schools that they have some senior leadership. They have some older kids. Look at what NC State did in the ACC tournament this past weekend. Look what UConn's doing, because they got some seniors. They got some kids that stay around. So nowadays, when I think of, you know, what we did at Duke, it was about man, we all stayed together and we learned under Coach K's system, and we got 3 or 4 years under our belt of running the same system, and it just seemed to help and seemed to make our basketball very, very high quality.
Well, it's funny. We're the same age, Christian. I'm a Michigan guy, and I wish my memories would fade. You know what I mean? Like, we're the same age. I'd like to not remember what I remember. You know what I'm saying, Christian?
Well, the last 15 years, or are you talking about?
No. You know what I'm talking about. You're a smart man. You went to Duke. You know exactly what I'm referring to. You know what I mean? Like, I wish I would forget that.
You want to forget about 92, the championship game?
Yes, that's the one in particular. Yeah. What do you remember about that, Christian?
That's just another example of they were all freshmen, and it makes such a huge difference to have, you know, juniors and seniors on your team. So that was a big reason why we won. We played them 2 times that year, and you know, we beat them 1 time in Michigan in December, and then, you know, the 2nd time in the championship game. And they were so good, even though they were only freshmen. And I'm saying the only reason we won is because we had some seniors and juniors on that team.
I got Christian Laettner here on the Rich Eisen Show. What's your favorite Coach K speech that he gave you, Christian?
Well, there's too many to recall and to tell you the stories about right now, but my favorite Coach K times were when he barged into the locker room, he slammed the door behind him, and he kicked everyone out of the locker room, all the managers, any other the supporting staff, and he said, coaches and players only. And then he would just lay into us and drill into us about how he's going to demand for us to play a certain way. And whenever we had those type of closed door locker room meetings with him yelling at us, I always loved it because I knew we were going to play basketball great for like the next 4 or 5 games. And then he might need to do it again, like a month later. But whenever he did that, it seemed like we played our best basketball.
What was he like in that huddle in the 92 East Regional Final against Kentucky, drawing up that? Did he draw up the play for you? What was that moment like for the famed shot, Christian?
He was so composed, and he was so positive, and he was so trying to get us to believe and to buy in. And if you remember, I made a shot that sent us to the Final Four 2 years prior to that against UConn. So I thought everyone was on board. I thought Bobby and Grant Hill and everyone on the team were all thinking to themselves, you know, we've been here before. We got lucky. We made a shot, and we've done it in the past. But over the last 30 years, Rich, I've learned through the, you know, 30 for 30, I Hate Christian Laettner show that Grant Hill and Bobby Hurley were maybe thinking like, our season is over, which I can't believe. But Coach K was so positive and so composed. And he said, we can do this. And he said, Grant, can you make a pass? And Christian, can you catch the ball? So he was brilliant in those minutes during our timeout of the Kentucky game.
Did you think the inbounds pass was going to be defended? Did you have that conversation?
I don't remember that. I just remember Coach K asking Grant, can you make the pass? And right. Grant said yes. And then Coach K turned to me and said, Christian, can you make the catch? And I said, of course, Coach, if he throws a good pass. You're hoping that they don't defend the pass, you know, they don't put someone on the ball, and then you're hoping that you can just get the ball in your hands. Whenever I, you know, think back on that play, I think of Ocho Cinco's book, you know, the football player, where he wrote a book. It said, just get the ball in my hands. And that's what I was thinking before that play. Like, I just got to catch the ball and get it in my hands and see what happens after that.
Christian Laettner here on the Rich Eisen Show. I don't know if you met the whole Hurley family when you went to college together, but do you remember meeting Dan, who's now sitting astride the college basketball world right now as the coach of the defending champion UConn Huskies, who are coming in as the number one overall seed to repeat again? Christian?
Yes, and I did meet Danny Hurley for sure, and it didn't go really well the first time.
Why? What happened, Christian?
Well, I think Bobby was – I don't know if Bobby was a freshman or a sophomore, but Danny came to visit him. I don't know if it was an official visit, like in terms of basketball, for Danny to come to school at Duke. But I think he just visited his older brother, and it was my sophomore year or my junior year, and Danny came down for the weekend, and he just had way, way too much bravado and way too much swagger, and I might have put him in his place a little bit. And
what do you mean? Come on now. What happened? What happened?
Well, you know, I think Bobby brought him to like our team dinner after practice one night. It might have been like a Friday night. We had practice, and then right after practice, we went to dinner over at our team dinner facility. And when Danny walked in, I just teased him, and he didn't pick up my sarcasm. And I said something to Danny like, "You're not welcome here." And it didn't go over real well, but I was just teasing him.
Wow. So did he come at you? Did you go chest to chest or something? Or I guess nose to chest, Christian?
He might have walked up to me and I just said, "I'm just teasing you." And he didn't believe me. And then he went and told Bobby. And
uh-oh.
Bobby came out in the hallway and was like, "Stop being a jerk." And so, but, you know, I'm impressed with the job Danny Hurley does. Honestly, the thing mm-hmm. I'm impressed with the most is that he gets some of his kids to stay at UConn. He has some junior, senior leadership. And man, that Hurley family, starting with Bobby Sr., they're very, very good coaches, very good basketball family.
I'm mandated to ask you, since you've made a few references now to, you know, staying and things of that nature, and there's now name, image, and likeness. Do you have a figure, do you think, of what you could have made if name, image, and likeness was available to you as a Duke Blue Devil back in the day, Christian?
No, I try not to think about it. You know, people bring it up to me all the time. But honestly, I don't like it for the game. It makes people move around too much. You know, you hear what Saban for the Alabama football team, you hear what he says, you hear what, you know, the UConn women's coach Gino says, and it just hurts the game, and the players are more interested in how much money they can make now and how much the coaches are going to pay them and all this other stuff. And it's just crazy. To me, the transfer portal is a little crazy. To me, the NIL stuff is a little crazy. That's what you work so hard for. That's why you put in all the blood, sweat, and tears and the extra work to get as good as you can so you can make it to the pro level and start getting paid there. So I don't necessarily agree personally with all that stuff, but it's part of the game now. I don't know if they can walk it back, but there has to be some type of limits and restrictions on it. If not, it's just going to continue to be everyone transfers and everyone tries to get paid, which is crazy to me.
And I'm with you, Christian, in terms of, you know, needing to have some sort of codification here, to get some sort of guardrails, to get some sort of rules in place. It just seems like the adults did not see it coming or understand the power of what name, image, and likeness is. And there needs to be some sort of uniformity, I think. But in terms of the players getting theirs, I have no problem with that. And when I hear coaches complain about it, like, aren't the coaches the ones who just get up and tell you, "Thanks for committing to the institution of higher learning that you're at. Enjoy getting an education. I'm going to go take a higher paying job somewhere else." Aren't they the ones that go and leave their own portal? You know what I'm saying? Like, that's what I'm hearing. when I hear some of that, Christian.
Yeah, that happens for sure. But you have to realize that, in my opinion, the only way good basketball happens is if people stay together for more than 1 year. A system has to be created. There has to be organization. I mean, when I think about how much better I was as a junior and senior at Duke under Coach K's system that I learned for 2, 3, 4 years, it's just incredible how much better I was and our whole team was under the same system for like an extended period of time. That's the only way really, really good basketball happens, in my opinion. If you just keep jumping around and moving around and changing coaches and changing players, to me, it's a little like playground basketball where you're just throwing stuff together for 1 year, seeing if it works. If it doesn't work, go somewhere else and see if you can make it all happen in a year. And to me, that's tough. So that's why I don't love it.
Kirsten Leitner here on the Rich Eisen Show, courtesy of DraftKings. Do you have a Final Four you want to let everyone know about? Have you chosen one?
I did. I did my bracket today. I'm not going to go through the whole thing, okay. But I got UConn, mm-hmm. Houston, UNC, and Purdue making the Final Four.
So you went all top seeds, huh? You went all one seeds, Christian?
Is that what it worked out to be?
Well, if it's UConn, North Carolina, Purdue, and Houston, yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Yes, it is. I mean, you know, take the high percentage play in the earlier rounds. I do have some upsets going on there, okay. But last year I really liked Houston and they didn't make it. But I think Houston's going to be a little more upset, you know, compared to how they played last weekend. They got beat last weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So I think Houston's going to have a good run. As I already told you, I'm impressed with UConn. Purdue bailed out early last year, and Zach Edey's a year better. So I did pick, you know, the all number one seeds. UNC, I got to go with them. They have a lot of senior leadership. I think they're going to do well. So those are my four, and we'll see what happens. I'll be at the Final Four again this year,
right,
enjoying it, working, making appearances, and I'm taking my son again, and I just love it.
That's awesome. Do you have UConn winning it all? Who'd you choose?
I picked Houston winning it all.
Okay. And you think there is some value in getting thumped in your conference tournament to get you pissed? Like is what you're saying? There is some value in that?
Yes, because it happened to me my junior year at Duke. We got thumped by 20 points by Carolina my junior year, and then we won 6 in a row and won a championship my junior year. So I think there's something about that.
Okay. Last one for you here, Christian. When you walked into the locker room for the first time as a member of the Dream Team, did you say anything? What was that like for you?
Of course I didn't say anything. I just followed directions, and if they told me to pick up the towels, that's what I did. And I kept to myself and tried to figure out my little space that I could not step on any toes. But what an experience. And there's so many pictures I've seen, you know, in books and photo albums where I'm sitting next to Jordan talking to him, or he's teasing me about the Duke Carolina rivalry. So what memories. And I wish I could do it again.
I bet. Did they haze you? Did you get any hazing at all?
I got a little hazing before the first practice. So I think we were together maybe like one dinner, one evening before the first practice. But after the first practice, once they realized that I wasn't going to complain, I wasn't going to cry, I could take an elbow to the chin, they all were great to me after that. So once they saw that I could handle them on the practice court and not complain and not cry and not act like a prima donna, they all treated me great.
So that was your reputation, you think, walking in the room to them?
Well, you know, there is a preconceived notion where they're like, oh, here comes this Dookie, and, you know, he just won two championships, and he better not act like a prima donna. And once they saw that I wasn't acting like that and I knew my place, I realized that I was a rookie or a freshman, and I was willing to get their donuts and their cigars and pick up their dirty laundry after practice. They treated me just fine.
Who told you to pick up a towel? Which one of them told you? Which one led that charge, Christian?
Every one of them did, but especially Barkley and Jordan. Jordan loved telling me what to do, you know, calling me a Dookie. So they were all having fun with me at my expense, and I loved every second of it.
I bet you did. Christian, I appreciate you joining. I'd love to do it more than once a year, so look out for more of my calls. I appreciate whenever you connect. Thank you.
Okay, Rich, I'll see you next year in March.
Okay, sounds good, Christian Leitner, everybody. Courtesy of DraftKings right here on the Rich Eisen Show. We'll see you in a year.
That's great.
That's what he's going to do. That's what he's sticking to it.
It's awesome.
Jordan called him a Dookie and said, pick up my stuff.
Yes, sir. Thank you, sir. Mr.
Danny
Jordan.
Hurley. Don't tell him.
I think that tracks.
You don't belong here.
That's, we that's see right. What Danny Hurley's up to these days.
Yeah. Don't tell him he doesn't belong, huh?
I think he's still a fiery individual.
He's still a little shoulder chippy?
Yep.
Oh, that was fun.
That's great.
That was great. Fun. It's funny. He's like, I'm 54. Memories fade. But I do remember playing Michigan twice and beating him twice. Once in Ann Arbor, once in the tournament final. What else you want to talk about, Rich?
Where were you for those games? Were you out of school?
I was. I was a staff writer for the Staten Island Advance, so living in Staten Island. And, yep, there was that. So the brackets were on the wall there, me and my roommates, back in that day. And here's my bracket here. You haven't filled yours out yet. Boy, he went chalk.
Yeah, all ones.
I'm telling you, they're all the number one.
It's not going to happen. Yeah, you and I both know that.
It's not going to happen.
You don't have to be an expert sitting there working faders for Creighton versus Iowa State.
I pay attention a little.
Like Mike, you know, rolling in the round ball rock.
Oh, yeah. I love
only
that.
Three times in 38 years.
There you go.
The fourth.
Has all the one seeds made it.
When was the last time? Do you know?
2008.
Jeez.
It's hard.
And I don't blame Christian for saying what he's saying, that, you know, giving players the transfer. By the way, did you see the transfer portal that Christian's saying is an issue? Because he says name, image, and likeness is an issue because it's players focused on wanting to get paid rather than sticking around a program. And then there's the transfer portal. It's all part and parcel. That the transfer portal that he says is an issue because players need to stick around more than just one year to be in a system, right? It's basically what he said. Did you see the transfer portal in college basketball?
Went nuts yesterday.
Opened yesterday?
Yeah. A couple of Syracuse guys are leaving.
Why would the NCAA open the transfer portal
before the
Monday?
Yeah. Exactly.
Of NCAA tournament week. Why would they do that? Like, what is the possible purpose of doing that?
Do that the Tuesday after the championship
don't
game,
you
right?
think? Like, hold it off another 3 weeks. So basically, you're getting ready for the NCAA tournament and you've got to keep an eye on the portal. I'm sure you've got people for that, but come on. That's like basically the NFL opening free agency the day after the regular season ends.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Right, yeah. True, yeah.
Like right before the playoffs.
Everything that we just saw go off the wall from last Monday to this day would happen the Monday after the regular season ends.
It's nuts.
Could you imagine?
Oof.
Well, Dallas would never
change. I'm imagining,
ready for wild card weekend.
Anybody entered the portal that's in the NCAA tournament? There has to be.
I would imagine.
Is somebody
so.
About to lose a kid in the portal? because the kid has been told he's not in the rotation for the NCAA tournament?
Some kids don't play.
Yeah, I mean, the 10th, 11th, 12th guys. I don't know, maybe.
Some guys just don't play, but.
It's nuts.
Wow.
I saw that. I'm like, I thought it was a misprint. I'm like, are you saying the transfer portal is opening the Monday of NCAA tournament week? Crazy. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. There's a mock draft from Daniel Jeremiah, and it's off the rails. And if this happens on the night of the NFL draft itself.
Yes. That would be
most watched first hour ever. It would be.
That would be amazing.
That's next. This is the Rich Eisen Show.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Mike Del Tufo is standing at a microphone that's about, I'd say, 20 feet away.
Yep.
Looking right at Mr. Wonderful of Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank. Go for it, Mike Del Tufo.
What happens if, like, something happens to me and 2,500 miles away, my family's there, and they don't know? I could be sitting in the apartment alone, dead for days. So I came up with an idea for an app called Just In Case that would be basically you download it, and you could check in with this app. And other people could see that, A, you're alive still. You could basically be tracked with it.
Just to get the whole story before I completely eviscerate you.
Go ahead.
How would you make money doing this?
A subscription per month.
Oh, people are going to pay per month.
99 cents per month. Very cheap.
If your mom calls you for 2 days and doesn't get an answer, she's probably going to call the super and say, go check on his corpse. Like, think about it. They don't need 99 cents a month for that.
But in theory, wouldn't you want, if it's something that you don't have to do,
Mike,
other people can check in?
When you're dead, you're dead. Like, who cares?
How does the app know you're dead?
The app doesn't know you're dead.
You have to tell it you're not
dead. The app would tell you that you're not checking in. Every time you unlock your phone, it would ping, and you put people on a list that know that if, like, your mother's in Florida, she could be sitting in the house. You know that at least she's checked in on her phone. If you're their kid, you don't have to talk to him on the phone. You don't have to call him. And if it's a kid, the kid.
Well, if you think if you're worried your mother's dead, why don't you call her?
Well, let's say
Mike.
People don't call their mother and father and live 2,500 miles away every day.
I just want to make sure you're not dead. Like, are you kidding? You should call your mother every day.
No. I'm talking about, like, all day. You don't know.
Oh, you want to know the exact moment your mother
died. Yeah, you can check in to know that they've actually. Exactly.
I want to know
that
moment.
That moment will never not hit. Never.
This is completely BS. This is shame.
Back here on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, I'm sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger, with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. In honor of Mike Del Tufo's birthday today.
Woohoo.
Mike Hoskins, our coordinating producer, just rolled back truly one of my favorite Mike Del Tufo moments in the history of this show, when we forced him to pitch an idea that he swore was a winner to Kevin O'Leary of Shark Tank, to Mr. Wonderful when he was here. We set up an actual Shark Tank type of delivery of idea to Shark.
It's amazing.
And Kevin O'Leary, as he said, I just want to ask a couple more questions before I completely eviscerate you. It is truly.
Disrespect is real.
My favorite Mike Del Tufo moment.
Del Tufo. So I'm at home on the couch alone with all my friends.
Still a good idea.
I know. And then you didn't want to do it. We're like, you have to do it.
This is before I learned.
Oh, yeah, before you. TJ, this is the polished Mike Del Tufo.
TJ, did you not? TJ taught me.
I tried to help him a little
bit. Yeah, I sucked.
Oh, for that day?
No.
This was before I got
I wasn't good. Nick. Yeah. Nick, the old camera operator, and TJ.
I would try to like film stuff with him when I was doing the social media all the time, and I'd be like, Mike, just.
That was 2017. So you're saying, saying that was the turd, and now this is the polish.
This is the polished turd.
Okay, very good.
You got it, Rich. And it's very good. It has a cherry on top. It's whipped cream.
Very good.
Hey.
It's a clean smelling turd.
You're killing it, Mike.
Listen. I work with Daniel Jeremiah. I adore Daniel Jeremiah. The longtime scout in the National Football League. You want to talk about being in a difficult spot? Taking the seat of Mike Mayock after Mayock vacates it to go take the job as the general manager of the Raiders. That's not an easy spot to be in, and he has been nothing short of pitch-perfect spectacular in that spot. And the way he does his job is outstanding. And the way he does his mock drafts, I love them. Where he does three of them before the final one on the night before the draft. And the night before the draft is the only one in which he includes trades. Until today. He tweeted out last night that he's thinking about his mock draft 3.0 to choose chaos, is what he said. He's thinking of choosing chaos for that mock draft, which means, and I speak fluent DJ.
Okay.
What it means is he's heard so much stuff, so much crazy off-the-wall stuff, that he is going to create a mock draft to let us know what he's hearing. I believe. I'm putting words in his mouth, but I'm fluent in Daniel Jeremiah. There's no other reason for him to finally choose a mock draft in March to reflect some of the craziness he's hearing about. Now, I'm not saying this is exactly what's going to happen. All I'm saying is in the mock draft last year, prior to the draft, night before the draft, he included as a trade the Houston Texans moving up to choose the third overall pick after choosing C.J. Stroud second overall. And he said they were going to move up to get Willie Anderson of Alabama. And you know what happened? That.
He called on it?
He called it.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Night before the draft, he's like, Texans are going to move up to choose back-to-back second and third overall. And what they wound up doing was that, and those two players they chose wound up being the offensive and defensive rookies of the year. Second year in a row, those players were from the same organization. It was Sauce and Garrett Wilson for the Jets the year before. I just only hope for Texans fans, the follow-up year doesn't turn out to be very Jet-like for you. So when Daniel Jeremiah says this draft is in my mock, I think it means he knows what he's talking about. But he calls it chaos, meaning I don't know how grounded in predictive reality this really is. I'm just saying this is the history of Daniel Jeremiah in mock drafts. As I present to you his mock draft 3.0, in which not one, not two, not three, but four quarterbacks start the draft to be selected, including the Vikings trading up from 11 to go to 4 with Arizona to get J.J. McCarthy, leaving every other non-quarterback on the board for the Chargers to choose from, and the Chargers choose to trade out of that spot for the Jets to move up from 10 to go to 5 to take Marvin Harrison Jr.
Come on. Can't have that happen.
Whoa. Now then.
Wow. That cannot happen, TJ.
Well, as much as you are using your Patriots.
Not good for me.
Inside Patriot massholishness to say such a thing right now. At least the other twist is of the first three quarterbacks to go, he thinks it's Drake May going to Washington. Yeah. And if you want Jaden Daniels, in New England, which you have been saying, Chris, forever, since the calendar turned this year. He says that's going to happen, that the Patriots stick and stay to choose the Heisman Trophy winner out of LSU, who is everybody's in every evaluation. And again, we've got Mel Kiper on tomorrow's program. And the real Mel, not the angry one from McAfee Show. I think. I don't know. Wouldn't that be amazing?
Actually, yes.
If Mad Mel showed up here tomorrow. By the way, earmuffs. You'd have to be on that dump button, Mike, if that happens. But in all seriousness here, everybody's saying, and you heard Kurt Warner say in hour one, the most pro-ready right now.
Lewis Riddick.
Based on the on who had the best year last year out of all the quarterbacks.
Yeah, Darylofsky, they would take him number one.
That's what Lewis Riddick said yesterday.
Yeah, and Dan's been saying that for a while. So, yeah, I mean, Jaden Daniels goes three to the Pats.
So, if that happens for you, why can't I have Marvin Harrison Jr. showing up in New York City for the Jets?
Because here's the thing, Rich. Like, we like Marvin. And, like, you know, God. Good players this go guy. To the Jets, and then their career is just like, what? We don't hear from them again. You know what I mean?
They see ghosts.
Listen, not all of us.
I feel bad. I want him to succeed.
Not all NFL teams can stroll into a 2024 stadium and start KJ Osborne and Kendrick Bourne at wide receiver. Not all of us can do it.
Also,
not all of us can try it.
Okay, you're going to be able to root for that man. Like, how would that work for you?
Let me tell you something, pal. I once cheered.
It didn't work for Vernon Golston.
Hey, pal.
You know what I mean?
Listen, tough guy. I once rooted, cried like a baby, cheering my head off for Wade Boggs on a horseback in 1996.
You shouldn't have done that.
Okay.
You should not have done that.
And by the way, that's not a metaphor for his chicken-eating days. He was on a New York City police
Wayne's horse celebrating
a Yankee World Championship in pinstripes, which at the moment was glorious for me because it was equally as difficult for you to swallow because this was way before the big poppy Dave Roberts years when you were still thinking, was it ever going to happen for you?
Never going to happen.
So, yeah. I can be very happy with Garrett Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr. in green.
Two Ohio
State guys. Jeez. Yes, sir. Very.
No problem at all.
Very happy with it.
Tyrod Taylor's going to throw so many touchdowns to those guys.
Well, hey. I mean, Aaron will be off the campaign trail by at least week 12. And we were hoping for him to come back at week 12 this past year. So it's kind of all the same. Tyrod just got to do better than Zach. That's all. So, yeah. Happy with that. Would that be insane?
It's insane. Insane.
If this, in fact, happens. And again,
imagine that first hour.
Daniel's Daniel, I'm sure. I shouldn't be doing this, but I'll just describe to him what I believe, because I'm fluent in Daniel Jeremiah. He must be hearing that the Vikings love J.J. McCarthy. And the Vikings also are the team that you would have to choose to do this because they made a trade already to get a second first-round selection. So you package those two first-rounders together and suddenly, yeah, you've got Arizona instead of giving Marvin Harrison Jr. to Kyler Murray. They'll give them to Aaron Rodgers for the rights to get more draft choices in the building. One more thing, if you wouldn't mind popping that up there, just to finish up the rest of the mock draft, because all those trades and names at the top are bright, shiny objects. But Malik Nabers winding up in New York for Drew Lock to enjoy while Daniel Jones comes back means the Giants would not take, in his mind, Michael Penix there. And the Giants would have to figure out the post-Daniel Jones quarterback situation another day. Joe Alt would be a terrific choice for the Tennessee Titans. And the reason why the Chargers wouldn't choose Joe Alt is, again, Joe Alt is a left tackle. Rashawn Slater is the left tackle in Los Angeles. And you're not, I don't think, drafting Joe Alt to stick him at right tackle. You're just not. I mentioned this the other day. that by getting Kirk Cousins in the fold, Atlanta can stick at 8 and essentially have the pick of the defensive draft group. Dallas Turner being the edge rusher from Alabama would be a very nice addition for Atlanta. The Chargers moving down to 10 and taking Talese Fuaga out of Oregon State is exactly what the Chargers want, because the Chargers would get the right tackle they need. I believe he would start at right guard at first, and then this guy, Fuaga, as the bookend to Slater, is exactly the protection and the road grading Harbaugh wants to lead with Greg Roman as his OC for Justin Herbert. But number 9, folks, if the Bears wind up with Roma Dunze to go with Keenan Allen and DJ Moore for Caleb Williams, who they would choose first overall, then folks, send whatever thank you basket, cookies, breakfast burritos or sandwiches or whatever they're sending apparently to New Jersey, the Jets facility. Fans are sending to Mike Williams saying, please join us. Send it to Ryan Poles. Because if this kid from Washington winds up being the third receiver with two stud 1,000-yard vets in DJ Moore and Keenan Allen for Caleb Williams, I'm telling you, that's the best setup for any rookie you can have.
What did I say yesterday?
And then you hit more of the line if you want. They also have $60 million in cap room. I hear you, top five offense. You still have to play the games and be as expert at it to be top five in the NFL. You still have to assume there's going to be some bumps in the road for a rookie quarterback, no matter how studly they are. And you have to wonder about the protection up front and things of that nature. Well, wow, that top 10 right there for a mock draft for Daniel Jeremiah had me at hello. And if that happens in Detroit, I mean, they'll be having an issue in the NFL Network truck on when to roll your first commercial break, because how the hell are you just going to not sit there and want to watch that uninterrupted for an hour and a half. Oh, my goodness.
Last year's number 5 offense was Dallas. You telling me that wouldn't be better than the Cowboys last year?
Come on, man. I'm telling you that wouldn't be better than the Cowboys, because it would take some time for a rookie quarterback to all have to play together. Come on, man.
Number five scoring last year was the Lions, 27 points a game. That offense isn't scoring 27
points
a game?
At some maybe by the end of the year, but consistently week 1 through week 18, you still have to figure that's a rookie quarterback. But it would get you excited.
Guess what? C.J. Stroud.
It would get you fired up. It would get you fired up.
No doubt.
And yes, I would be very, very happy with two Buckeyes playing for the Jets, catching footballs. Yes. No problems at all.
Yeah, sure. Why not?
You okay, pal. Nah. Let him go. Let him do it. 844-204-RICH, number to dial. Back with phone calls and so much more to set up the rest of the week. We got a huge in-studio guest on Thursday, and we'll tell you how to get started with our brackets and get involved.
It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
Check out our new NBA show, Beyond the Arc, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network, where you can find me, John Gonzalez, NBA insider Bill Reiter, and Ashley Nicole Moss, 5 days a week talking all things NBA. Whether you're looking for insightful discussions, upbeat commentary, breaking news, interviews, or coverage of all the biggest stories in the NBA, our new show is the place to be 5 days a week. Download and follow Beyond the Arc on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
It was at this point yesterday, if I'm not mistaken, that John Collins and Austin Reeves were still alive.
Wow.
Okay. Right.
Wow.
Pastor preaching, he was a good man.
They met their basketball demises last night.
It was not great for those boys.
Anthony Edwards dunking on John Collins was something else. Look at that. Like John Collins is...
Phew. I mean, that's
the other side of it, he's like wincing. There it is.
He's doing the Jumpman logo. Like, it's incredible.
He windmilled that thing down from there, by the way.
I mean, that's amazing.
From there.
Hi. Man.
And then.
That picture's sick.
That picture is.
Well, at least.
Props to that.
John Collins had his eyes closed, but if his eyes were open, he'd be able to see the rest of the world. I'm assuming Austin Reeves had his eyes closed.
Yeah. I hope so. You don't see that coming.
You know, when Jalen Johnson came through, and I think, Jalen, his last name was more more applicable, because that's what was right at Austin Reeves. Is that the way to describe it?
I mean, sure. It's the safest way, because I got stuff in my head I can't say. Sure. So, yeah.
No. Let me handle this one, but certainly that I don't need that's what she said guy to be chiming in here.
Israel Adesanya and John Jones situation?
Oh, I mean, that one was something else.
Yeah.
What did Austin Reeves say afterwards? What was his quote?
Something like...
was it a good day or something for him? Yeah,
wasn't his best day?
Yeah. Poor Austin Reeves.
Well...
On your tonsils.
You think that the new NBA logo should be Anthony Edwards Duncan? Did I see that?
Yeah.
There it is, by the way.
That is
back there is a,
the disrespect
Austin
is
Reeves.
So real.
There it is.
I mean.
that's for our radio audience, we're showing Jalen Johnson.
Johnson's.
Jalen's.
Jalen Johnson said, you don't want my view.
That's what he said. You want my view? Yeah,
everyone saw what happened. You don't need
my
view.
Is that a block or a charge?
Yeah. Ooh.
Careful. Just you be quiet.
Yeah, man.
That was last night in the NBA. That was the last night in the association.
We need a Patreon, Chris, so we can say these things.
Yeah.
My goodness. Those dunks were violent.
Yeah.
Both of them got I got an alert on my phone for both of them.
How about those two on the same
both
night?
Of them.
You don't same get night. That many dunks in a year.
And Ant, I guess, dislocated his finger.
Yeah, he was screaming. You could hear. I thought it was one of them like, but he was like
John
in pain.
Collins in the face when he went up. He hit him in the face with his left hand, I think, and then threw it in with his right. And as soon as he landed, you could see him grabbing his
hand. I know.
Yeah. I mean, you know, this was a Blake Griffin type on Kendrick Perkins or one of those guys where the hand didn't actually hit the rim. It's just more like a throw through the rim, but it's still so violent.
But like the disrespect of thinking, I'm going to jump over you from
half court
way out here and then doing it.
I think that was when, remember when Griffin dunked on Timothy Mozgov?
Yeah. Mozgov. I haven't heard that name in forever. I haven't heard that name in forever.
I mean, obviously the Vince Carter Olympic dunk. I mean, it's just.
So, hey, everybody, you know what we're going to do? We're going to take our in-studio bracket group public.
Let's do it.
Go to the ESPN website, pop in Rich Eisen Show in it, and find our group, and let's go. Let's have at it.
Yeah, I'll tweet that out so you guys.
Yeah, the link. You're going to tweet out the link?
What we're playing for.
Here's what we're going to play for? A Rich Eisen Show mug set. We'll send it to you.
Nice.
A traditional mug right here. And then I don't have it
you
next
got one? You got one? Oh, the Super Bowl one.
The
so
Super
good.
Bowl one with me running in my, the running man in the Elvis.
Thank you very much.
You'll pop a photograph of it up on.
Yeah, we'll put the photos up after. Just join the group.
And the link and join the group.
Play against us.
And you are going to fill out a bracket.
I'm going to fill one out.
Mike Del Tufo is the resident Rich Eisen Show college basketball expert.
Yes.
Like you're like the Joe Lapchick of the Rich Eisen Show over there.
Joe. Mike Palm.
Well, not this true. Guy. You know, when
Mike,
we did it for
Mike,
us.
Mike Palm.
Mike Palm. When we did it for us, last. I won this.
Yeah, Brockman doesn't never, you never
I
do
stink
well.
At these things.
Didn't I win last year? I won like 2 years when it was just us that did this.
Yeah. It's luck.
So,
Lawson.
I'm ready.
Now, see if we got, and by the way, my
his kid,
tread lightly, my children are in this bracket competition.
Keep the names, PG?
Oh, yeah, please do that.
Yes. Well, I didn't.
Please do that.
Mine is
I don't need my 10-year-old daughter saying
mine.
Things that you sometimes see in these brackets.
Is Mikey D's nuts? Is that safe?
Oh, my God. Well, I mean, my children make D's nuts jokes, though.
Who's going to name their team Jalen Johnson, though? That's the question.
Austin Reeves view?
Austin Reeves view.
I got the clear eye view, Austin Reeves.
Oh, my God, you guys.
What am I on your tongue?
I understand.
Oh my God!
I could have played the other.
That's the ultimate D's nuts joke, right there.
I mean, while you're at it,
Jimmy in San Antonio, finish us up, sir. What's up, Jimmy?
How do I follow this?
You can't.
Oh my God,
you can't.
I mean, Jimmy.
But try.
Well, Austin Reeves may know Johnson's religion. I know that.
Wow. Hey, Jimmy.
Wow,
that was. We all should applaud him for that.
I mean, come
Jimmy,
on.
Jimmy.
That was excellent.
Do another shot, Jimmy.
That was excellent.
All right.
All right, Miguelito, happy birthday. Feliz cumpleaños.
Thank you. Thank you, Jim.
I just got back from the barbershop.
Okay.
And turned it on, saw the Christian interview, and Leitner, just like the great Duke player that he is, nailed it. The sport is compromised because of NIL, and what he said about the kids looking for the bag makes total sense. Think of your favorite band, and what if they rotated members every other year and a half, 2 years? Mm-hmm. Then they wouldn't be as solid and, playing well together. I think he nailed it. Let me hear your thoughts on that.
Well, again, I think players deserve to be paid what they want, and the transfer portal is definitely not – conducive to cohesiveness in terms of basketball and having players stick around 3-4 years. But, you know, Michigan, I'm hoping Dusty May becomes the next head coach, right? Just thinking of that. And thanks for the call, Jimmy. Let's just hope. But so what do I tell the FAU kids, right? See ya.
Yeah.
I'm going to Michigan. Oh, so he can do that, but I can't go transfer portal. Honestly. Just come up with better rules so everybody understands the rules and there's more of a guardrail. Come up with the rules, honestly. But now, give Saban a position to figure that out in college football, as opposed to just having him go to Capitol Hill and give a bunch of testimony to people who aren't going to do anything because they're too busy podcasting when they're not sitting next to him. For instance,
that's an interesting thought.
How about that? Hey, you know who's on the show on Thursday in studio? Larry David.
Well, tomorrow's Wednesday.
I'm giving people ready.
We don't want them to miss out. Like planning accordingly.
Giving people
folks
2 days' notice.
I don't know if Rich was skipping a day.
No, I'm not. 2 days' notice.
Mike Carruthers shares little pieces of intel and interviews you can use to improve your life on the Something You Should Know podcast.
The next time you're looking for a job and have to write a cover letter, here's some advice from Skip Freeman, author of a book called Headhunter's Hiring Secrets. Add a P.S. to the bottom of that cover letter. That can actually increase the chances of that letter being read by up to 75%. Some people actually glance down and read the P.S. first.
Something You Should Know. Search on YouTube or wherever you listen.